Yevamos Perk Tes Zayin, Mishnah Zayin, 16:7, and I'm sorry to say the last of the Masechta, but the mission away saved the best for last. We now are going to describe the origins of this leniency where we allow the testimony of a single person or even a woman or even Edmi Pi Aid, you know, a transmission from one to another witness, etc., to allow a woman to remarry. How did that come about? So the Mishnah says a bit of a history lesson. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Kishirarati le Naharda. One time when I went to Naharda, the famous city of Shmuel, in Bavel, in Babylonia, which was slowly becoming a major seat of Jewish learning. So Rabbi Akiva went down there, La'aber Hashana, to make it a leap year, to add an extra month to the year, an extra Adar. The normal rule is that the intercalation of the calendar year in Jewish law to add an extra month must be done in Eretz Yisrael and based in there, but in the event that's not possible, as was the case in Rabbi Akiva's time during the Hadrianic persecutions, let's call this the year, I don't know what, you know, 120 something, whenever it was, and Rabbi Akiva couldn't do it in Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't safe, so he went to Bavel to do it over there, because the rule is that although it should be done in Eretz Yisrael, under such extenuating circumstances, if the Gadol Hador from Eretz Yisrael goes to Chutz Laretz, he may do the Ibur Hashanah, the intercalation of the calendar, adding the extra month, even Chutz Laretz. So on his way down to Bavel, Matzasi Nechemia Ish Beis Dli, says Rabbi Akiva, I came across Nechemia, the Ish signifies that he is a man of significant stature, from the town of Beis Dli. And actually, there are other Girsos and the Rif, etc., that it's Matzani, that he sought me out, as opposed to me finding him. And he made his way to come find me. Amar Li, and this Nechemia told me, says Rabbi Akiva, Shamati she'ein masin es ha'isha be'eretz Yisrael al pi eid echad. I heard, says this Nechemia, that in Eretz Yisrael they won't let a woman remarry based on the testimony of one witness, Ela Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, with the exception of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, one of the Tanaim, one of the Gedolim, but he was the only one who would allow a woman to remarry based on one witness. Everyone else required two. Venumesi lo, says Rabbi Akiva, I said back to him, this word numesi, rather stilted and unusual in Mishnah Hebrew, but the word na'um means like said by, like in the word of Hashem, na'um Hashem, and so on. So here, numesi lo, I replied to him, says Rabbi Akiva, Kena devarim, yes, Nechemi, you are right. In Eretz Yisrael, we do not allow women to remarry based on the single testimony, with the exception of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Amar li, so Nechemia said to me, Emor lehem mishmi, I now want you to be my shaliach, my emissary, and to report back to the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael in my name. Atem yodim shahmedina mishubeshes begaisos. You know full well that the land, meaning in Babylonia, it's a balagan, you know, it's not safe. Chaotic over here because of the marauding armies going around, and therefore I can't come myself to testify before you, but I'm making Rabbi Akiva be my shaliach, my emissary, an agent to testify before you, that mukublani merabban Gamliel hazaken. I have it on tradition personally from Rabban Gamliel hazaken, Rabban Gamliel the elder. Rabban means the nasi, and this is Rabban Gamliel the elder. There are multiple Rabban Gamliels. The two that are most relevant are Rabban Gamliel hazaken. That's the elder. He was at the very end of the Second Temple period and like a recognized important, you know, Gadol Hador. The other Rabban Gamliel, which is the Rabban Gamliel who's more of a contemporary with Rabbi Akiva, who features larger than Mishnayos, he's referred to as Rabban Gamliel de Yavne, Rabban Gamliel of Yavne, because he was the one who took over after Reuchim ben Zakkai established Yavne as a place of learning after the Chorban. Okay, so the relationship between Rabban Gamliel the Yavne and Rabban Gamliel Hazaken is that the elder is the grandfather of the younger. Okay, but now the Nasi was Rabban Gamliel the Yavne, and this Rabban Nechemia is telling Rabbi Akiva, you go report back to them that the grandfather of the Nasi, the current Nasi, who was the Nasi of his time, he told me explicitly, Shemesian Esa Isha al Pi Erachad, that one is permitted to allow a woman to remarry based on the testimony of a single witness. Ukshavasi, when I came, meaning when Rabbi Akiva says, when I came back to Eretz Yisrael, Vehiratseisiya Devarim Lefnei Rabban Gamliel, and I presented these matters, these words before Rabban Gamliel, the Yavna, the grandson, the current Nasi, Samach l'devarai. Rabban Gamliel, the Nasi, he rejoiced at my words. Va'amar, and he says, Matz'anu chaver l'Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. He was rejoicing and saying, finally we have someone who will join sides, if you will, as a colleague with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, meaning now we are able to allow women to remarry based on the testimony of a single woman, and this is great news because we won't have a gunos, and Rabban Gamliel really wants that. So he was thrilled to hear it, and he intended to spread the word. And mitocha devarim, in the midst of those matters, meaning while they were considering this issue, nizkar Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel, the grandson, the current Nasi, he remembered. Shenergu harugim betel arza. There's a place called Tel Arza, and in Tel Arza, certain people were killed, and he recalled from his youth, v'hisi Rabban Gamliel hazaken, nasho seim al pied echad. He recalled from his youth that his grandfather, Rabban Gamliel Hazaken, permitted the widows of Tel Arza to remarry, even though there was just a single witness that could testify that their husband died. Now, the next words of the Mishnah are, V'huchzaku lios mesin al pi erechad, and it was therefore firmly established that women could remarry based on the testimony of a single witness. This sentence here that I just read, that doesn't appear in the Gemara. It's the version of the Mishnah. It doesn't appear in the Rishonim's Mishnah. So it's probably not, however, gotten to our Mishnah, however it is. It doesn't change things, really. But more than that, V'huchzaku lios masin eid mipi eid. They furthermore established that we'd be lenient enough to allow for testimony which was secondhand testimony, eid mipi eid, which means the person now standing before the Bezin, confirming that so-and-so died, didn't see so-and-so die personally. He just heard it from a reliable source that so-and-so died. But that became acceptable also, again, in the interest of allowing women to remarry. And the truth is, eid mipi eid, from one witness to a second witness, is lav dafka. It's not specifically, you know, just one step removed. We could have, hypothetically, you know, 10 links in this chain, going back to the original witness who told someone, and so, and finally, the final witness comes and says, I have a good authority, based on this, you know, this chain of witnesses, that so-and-so died, that would be acceptable. And furthermore, mipi eved, they would also accept the testimony of a slave, normally unacceptable for a testimony in a court, mipi isha, or from a woman, again, normally not accepted, and mipi shifcha, or even from a shifcha. A shifcha is a female slave. So the shifcha, who's not Jewish, actually has both of the problems. She's not a Jew, and she's a woman. And yet, even a shifcha will be accepted to be one who gives testimony to allow a woman to remarry. All again, as we described previously in the Masechta, because we want women to remarry. The Chazal didn't want agunos, and they built in a system of kanasot, the penalties, to make sure that the woman took, you know, responsibility to make sure she could establish the facts as being true to the best of her ability before remarrying. Now, that said, originally had been Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Omrim, before the promulgation of this rule as a huchzaku, before that, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua Omrim, Ein Masin Es Aisha Al Pi'ed Echad, they were firm in their opinion that you need to have two witnesses and one will not do. However, ultimately they relented, as the Mishnah described above. Rabbi Akiva Omer Lo Al Pi'isha. Rabbi Akiva said, one witness is okay, but not an invalid witness. It has to be a valid witness, not a woman. V'lo al pi eved, v'lo al pi shivcha, and these words may or not be belong in the Mishnah, depending on the girsa, but also he wouldn't accept other non-valid witnesses under normal circumstances, v'lo al pi krovim, nor would he accept a relative of the would-be widow. Now, the point is, Rabbi Akiva at this point, is his main position is, we don't accept the testimony of a woman to allow another woman to remarry. So on that, the Chum now are going to push back. And they say, Amrulo, the Chacham said to Rabbi Akiva, Maisa, don't forget what happened. Shebnei Levi shehalchu letzor ir hatamarim. There were those Levite fellows that went to this place called Tzor, which is the city of dates. V'chala echad mehem b'derech. And one of the members of their party got sick along the way. V'heviu b'fundak. And they brought him to a pundak. A pundak is like an inn. They put him in like a kind of like a hospice hotel thing, an inn, to take care of their sick fellow while they went to do whatever they had to do. And so are Ira Tamarim. Uvachazartam, and on their way back, they came back from Tzor. They went back to this pundak, this inn. And Amru lefundakis eye chavarenu. They said, where is our friend? Now, when they went back to the pundaks of the Gemara, that as they walked the door, the woman burst into tears and started crying and sobbing, and that's what prompted them to say, what's happened? Where's our friend? And that's important because that, the Chazal understand, by her reacting in such a way, they're giving her the status of being Messiah lefituma, that she's not testifying per se, she's rather just speaking, you know, innocently, and that's important because, if you recall, we didn't accept the testimony of a non-Jew, if they're giving it for the sake of testimony, but we do accept it for the sake, if it's lefituma and spoken in innocence. So Chazal understood this is considered the same kind of status of being lefituma, because she burst into tears as they came in the door. They said, so where is our friend? Amra lehem, mace, ukvartiv, says this pundakis, this innkeeper woman, Gentile woman, your friend died and I buried him in the back. And she actually showed them where he's buried. Vehisiu es ishto. And based on that story, the rabbis allowed the wife of the fellow who died to remarry. Now, the only person testifying on his death is this innkeeper, and she wasn't even Jewish. So say the Chacham to Rabbi Akiva, surely if we'll accept a Gentile woman innkeeper, who's got, like, so to speak, all strikes against her, and yet we accept her testimony to allow her, the woman, to remarry, so for sure we should believe a regular Jewish woman who's serving as a single witness. Amru lo, Rabbi Akiva says, no. Velotehe kohenes, sorry, excuse me, I bent myself. Va'amru lo, and therefore the Chacham said to Rabbi Akiva, velo sehe kohenes kapundakis. Are you trying to tell us, Rabbi Akiva, that a kohenes shouldn't be like a pundakis? Meaning, what this means is, you're trying to tell us that we accept the testimony of a Gentile woman, but not a Jewish woman? But a kohenes kind of means like a Jewish woman, of like sort of a, because she's the daughter of a Kohen, like on the top of the holiness, tahara, Jewish totem pole. And a pundakis, the innkeeper, who's a Gentile woman, also these women just didn't have a very good reputation in terms of their morality. These innkeepers, what they're up to, who knows? And that being the case, they're contrasting a holy Jewish woman to a not-so-holy non-Jewish woman. Amr lehem, so that was their argument to Rabbi Akiva, that we should for sure accept Jewish, a single Jewish woman's testimony. Amr lehem, Rabbi Akiva pushes back, and he says no. L'kishtehei pundakis ne'emanis ha-pundakis. You said you want to know why this pundakis, this innkeeper woman, was believed? That she's only believed in a scenario that the because hapundakas hotzia lahem makalu v'tarmilo v'sefer Torah shaya biyado, because she didn't just testify, and it wasn't just even let's say lefituma, she actually brought corroborating, albeit circumstantial evidence, but she brought additional evidence to support that he was dead, because she showed them his makel, that's his walking stick, his tarmil, that's like his wallet, and his Sefer Torah that he had in his hand. So the point is, who knows what happened to this poor guy? And for all we know, this innkeeper is the one who killed him. But that's not the point. The point is, he clearly is dead here, because not only is she saying he's dead and he's allegedly buried in the backyard, but where in the world would he be? No one would leave their wallet and Sefer Torah, etc., with the innkeeper. Obviously, he's no longer here. So this corroborating circumstantial evidence, says Rabbi Akiva, is why we believed her. And Rabbi Akiva says, furthermore, yeah, a Jewish woman also would believe in such a scenario with that corroborating circumstantial evidence. So that was his rebuttal. Nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva ultimately relented and saw things as the Chacham do, to permit a single witness, even a woman, to give testimony, as did Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua of the earlier on in the Mishnah. So when the dust settles, everyone agrees, and that became the universal custom and the halacha lamaisa, that a single woman, a single witness, woman, relative, slave, etc., all the above, aid me if you aid, all these things are permitted to be the sufficient testimony that a woman's husband died to allow her to remarry. And with that, Salak Maseches Yevamos, mazel to everybody, we finished Maseches Yevamos, and kol hakavod to all who stuck it through, one of the longest Masechtas and most difficult Masechtas in Shas, and with that we finish, and Bez Hashem next is Maseches Ksubos.